400-verse treatise by Aryadeva. Chapter 1. Indicating methods for ridding yourself of grasping at the body as permanent. As the master over the three planes of perishable existence, the lord of death, by self-nature is without a creator, what could be more improper than to fall asleep while the real situation is that he will definitely come? Having been born for the sake of coming to die, and under the power of other things, having the situation of going ever closer to your end, it would appear as though you were going to die, not as though you were going to live. You might see as short your time already spent, and the future as otherwise, but whether you think of these as equal or unequal, it would seem as though you should cry out in fear at the obvious. If death is not fearsome to you because it is something general, shared with all others as well, does it make you suffer with jealousy when it ravages someone else? Although you might feel that since sickness can be cured and old age can be treated, you need have no fear when they come, nevertheless, as there is no cure for your future demise, you should fear what is grossly obvious. Death is common to everyone. We're like cattle about to be slaughtered. As you have seen death come in fact to others, how can you not fear the Lord of Death? Because the time of your death is uncertain, you might feel, I am permanent. Yet, nevertheless, at some time, the Lord of Death is going to ravage you. If you sell yourself, looking for gain in the future of this life, but not at the fact that your life is depleting, would any kind person say you were smart and knew your own nature? You have simply pawned yourself for a future karmic debt. To commit a destructive act for any reason, you certainly need to be totally free of clinging to a self, as are the wise arhats. This thing called life, no matter whose, is nothing but a phenomenon that passes from moment to moment of the mind, but beings have not ascertained this and are thus unaware. To be certain of this and know your own nature is rare. If you take pleasure in the continuity of your life lasting a long time, and yet you do not delight in the signs of old age, oh dear, such actions as yours would appear as correct only to ordinary folk like yourself. When you should be grieving about your own death, why do you grieve about the death of your children? You yourself are going to be snatched, but if you only carry on about others, why should you not be ridiculed by the wise? When it is so that certain beings, without requesting, become your own children, then it is not at all improper that they should depart as well, without asking permission. Because of naivety, you completely refuse to be without biased thought toward your child, but his desire to depart is demonstrated by his old age. To a father, his son is adorable, but to his son, he does not generate similar feelings. Such a worldly one, because of attachment to his children, goes to a worse rebirth. For this reason, birth in a higher status is difficult to find. When a son is disobedient, no one would call him adorable. And when he is obedient, your attachment is merely generated in exchange for a certain cause, as in a business transaction. The suffering that swells at parting quickly wanes from people's hearts. This example of losing the suffering that comes even in connection with attachment demonstrates attachment's infirmity. To conform with convention at another's death, even if you decide to inflict harm on yourself in a show of mock grief, while realizing it has no advantage, you've become an outward hypocrite to your nature, and this, in addition, is unjust to yourself. These worldly beings, as if brimming over with suffering, wander about from one birth to the next. So what is the use of filling yourself up with further suffering by carrying friendship with some other person who will only bring you suffering when you have to part? Whatever happiness there may be at gathering with someone, why isn't there the same happiness at parting? Don't gathering and parting come one with the other? As the past has no beginning and the future has no end, why do you look only at the short time of being together and not at that of when being apart, even though it's for so much longer? Periods of time, such as instants and so forth, by robbing your life, act as an enemy. Therefore, by no means should you have longing desire for these things that act as an enemy. O base-minded one, if due to your fear of separation you do not renounce and leave your home, then that which wise ones would definitely do will be enacted to you as your sentence by the Lord of Death. If you think that after attending to these homely affairs, then for sure you'll go into retreat in the forest, Well, no matter what you've attended to, you'll have to give it up when you die. So what advantage is there in having attended to it? Anyone who has gained conviction, thinking I shall die, has fully abandoned attachment, and because of this, what fear has he, even for the Lord of Death?